Good morning. It is a real honor to be with you all this morning. Public Speaking 101 says that it's beneficial to try to build some relationship with the audience whenever you're speaking. Because I want to prioritize our time for Scripture, I'm going to try to fast track that this morning. I've always found it helpful to get to know somebody is to get to know a few of the things that they love. So I'm going to share a few things that I love with you all this morning. I love the Lord. I love my family, my bride, and my kids. I love refrigerated Reese cups. Like, put them in the fridge, game changer. I love the Scriptures. I love getting compliments on my yard. I love your pastor. I love prayer. I love like the Reese Christmas trees that come around like in the holidays. Like, I love watching baptisms. I love watching people take their next steps in faith. I love living in community. I love the Reese Easter eggs as well. Like, the whole holiday team at Reese's, like, standing ovation. I also love it when things go according to plan. I love it when life is simple and there's no heartache or hardship. I think one way to say this is I already love heaven, but I, like you, find myself here. I, like you, find myself in a place because of sin, because of the fall, that unfortunately there is disappointment. There is heartache and pain. There's not only suffering, there's long suffering. I, like you, find myself in the place where suffering exists. And like, this is hard. Right? Suffering is hard. It's one of the main reasons so many people have rejected the Christian faith. How do you claim to have a God who holds all power and authority, yet there is suffering? The world has a hard time with this. Culture has a hard time with this. But if we can be honest, so does the church. Our lack of perspective on it and understanding leads to hopelessness. There's a woman who's a part of our church, a good friend of mine. She was telling me that she sustained an injury, and after the injury, she was speaking with her doctor, who told her that she likely had a lifetime of chronic pain ahead of her. She said after getting that news, she went home, got online, and began to research what country she might be able to travel to that would allow her to explore euthanasia. You see, she believed the lie that a life of suffering was not a life worth living. She said, Pastor Keith, it wasn't until I began to understand how God works through suffering, how he uses it, that I began to see things differently. My hope is true for you and I this morning. It's my understanding that one of the themes of the message last week was suffering. You can consider this an unofficial part two. My prayer for you and I this morning, being that we find ourselves in a world where suffering exists, that we would grow in our trusting of God in the midst of storms. My prayer for you and I is that we would grow to trust him as we explore, that if we are to suffer, that we would suffer well. My prayer for you and I, as obnoxious as it sounds, is that we'd actually get to a place where we'd look back and say it was all worth it. Lord willing, we'll get there as we look at a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 8. Would love for you to meet me there. Let me provide a little context before we get there. A man by the name of Paul, who was sent by Jesus, is speaking to the church in regards to their suffering. Paul is speaking of his own personal experience when it comes to suffering. All of Paul's opponents, most of his opponents, actually challenged Paul because of his suffering. Says, this man can't be a follower of Jesus. This man can't be spirit-filled. Look at all the suffering that he endures. Paul's letter today serves as an apologetic. Not only is he not denying his suffering, he's actually celebrating in it. And that is also my prayer for you and I today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 8, says this. It says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our bodies. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, So we do not lose hope. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift that it is. We thank you that it is a lamp to us. It is a light to us. We thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning as we engage your word. Lord, we are reminded that to understand your word, to fully understand you, you have given us a gift. You've given us the Holy Spirit. So by way of this Spirit, would you reveal to us what you'd have us gather from your word today? We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Paul begins with a bit of a paradox. He says we are perplexed and persecuted, afflicted, struck down. He's speaking of a holistic kind of suffering. And at the very same time, he speaks to being sustained by God in it all. And like Paul is able to make these claims. He's able to speak about suffering because he has credibility. So Paul has experience when it comes to suffering, so he's able to speak to the church in regards to their suffering because he knows a lot about it. If you're familiar with Paul's story, you remember that early in his ministry, there were those that were trying to kill Paul. They had allotted for his death. If you remember his story, you also remember that one of the attempts on his life, he was only able to escape through a window lowered in a basket. You also remember that they eventually caught up with Paul. He was stoned. Stoned to the point that they thought he was dead. They drug him out the city, thought that he was dead, and they walked away, but he lived. If you're familiar with his story, you also remember that Paul was imprisoned multiple times. One of the times was in there for an additional 2 years simply because the governor wanted to get on the good side of some influential people. You remember that Paul was shipwrecked multiple times. Probably the most famous time after finally coming up ashore, going to a bonfire to warm his hands, he was then bitten by a viper. Later in this very letter, Paul speaks of a thorn in the flesh, one which he pleads with the Lord three times to no avail. Paul is uniquely qualified to speak to the church about suffering. But you see, he's not uniquely qualified simply because he has received suffering. Paul's uniquely qualified because he knows both sides of it. Again, if you are familiar with his story, you know that before he was Paul, he was known as Saul, and he made it his business to persecute the church. Saul made it his business to inflict suffering on the church. He is uniquely qualified because he understands both sides of suffering. And like I wonder, because he has a past, I wonder that when he had to deal with suffering on his own because of his sin, I wonder if Paul thought that this was all his fault. I wonder that as he was reminded of the things that he had done, I wonder in those moments if he thought that this is God's punishment for that. I wonder if Paul in this moment, his theology got reduced to karma and God is simply paying me back from what I've done. I wonder for Paul in these moments if he questioned whether or not God really loved him in the way that sometimes you and I can. You see, part of the thing about suffering is it has a way of distorting reality. Has a way, if we don't have the proper perspective, we can find ourselves confused. Suffering has a way of producing a spiritual hallucination. We begin to see things that are actually not true, and we no longer see the things that are true. Wonder if this moment Paul found himself in the same way that you and I can find ourselves, completely confused. Because the truth of the matter is Jesus had a plan for all of it. If you remember the story, as Jesus is revealing himself to Paul, he does so by way of a man named Ananias. And he tells Ananias, hey, I want you to go to Paul. Here are your instructions. Here's what I want you to do. Ananias is like, respectfully, Jesus, this guy has a reputation. Are you sure this is what you would have me do? Are you sure you want me to go and speak to him? And Jesus says this in Acts 9. He says, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. You see, Jesus had a plan for this. Jesus has purpose that's associated with our suffering. This wasn't simply to pay him back. God was going to use it to reveal himself. One of the first things I hope we see is that there's a relationship between our suffering and our mission. And no, Jesus does not want us to suffer, but since we find ourselves in a fallen world where it exists, he is redeeming it. And he is using it to accomplish his mission. He's using it to reveal himself to others. I was talking with a couple who were part of our church earlier this week. A husband and wife are grieving with friends of theirs who lost their son recently in an accident. They said as they have watched this family grieve, they've just tried to be there and to be with them, to be a presence. They were telling me about the funeral service. Said, Keith, there were more songs of worship sang there than on your typical Sunday morning. Says that the mother, though fully grieving, was standing with hands raised in the air, worshiping her God in the midst of suffering. Says as the pastor ended the service, he invited anybody who was there who was not a follower of Jesus to put their faith in Jesus for the first time, and four hands went up. I'm reminded that God often uses our suffering as a means of revealing himself, as accomplishing his mission. But not only does he use it to reveal himself to others, he also uses it to reveal himself to us. In verse 10, Paul says this. Says we are carrying the body, we are carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested, may also be displayed in our bodies. There is a special connection to Jesus by way of suffering. Both his suffering, but also as we suffer, there is a special connection to Jesus by way of suffering. It draws us closer to one another. And this is actually a consistent theme that we see in Scripture. Romans 6, 3 and 4 says this. It says, do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus? We were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Again, there's connection with Jesus by way of suffering. Philippians 1:29. So for as it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. There's relationship here. There's connection here. 2 Corinthians 1:5. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ, we share abundantly in comfort too. There is a deeper connection with Jesus that is made available to us through suffering. That's both his suffering, but also our suffering. I both unfortunately and fortunately know this to be true. Part of the reason I chose this passage and this message is because this past Tuesday marked 2 years from the unexpected passing of my mother. And like, I have made it a goal of mine to not remember that date. I have tried my best to remember other things. Obviously, I remember her birthday. I remember my parents' anniversary. I've tried my best to pretend that August 27th isn't the day that my mother went to be with Jesus. But grief has a way of reminding you. And like I've never experienced suffering. I've never experienced grief at this level before. It is the hardest thing I've ever been through. And though it's only been 2 years, it's the hardest and the longest challenge I have ever had. I've never known grief at this level. And I recognize in many ways I'm still in the early days, but I've never known pain at this level at the very same time. I have never known the intimacy of Jesus the way that I have through this. At the very same time, I have never known his compassion, his closeness. And like, let me just knock out any assumption. It's not because like I was walking perfectly with him as I was grieving. It's not because I was fasting and praying day and night. It's not because I stayed in his scriptures. Truth be told, as this happened, the opposite was true, but Jesus was close to me. He was patient with me. He was kind to me. I have a better understanding when he says that neither death nor life, nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Suffering has a way of connecting us and drawing us closer to Jesus. And like, I still miss that woman. I miss my mother. Like, I miss the little things. Like, I want to do stuff for her. I want to carry her groceries in. I miss her. But here's what I know to be true. I will see her again. I will see her again. Here's the reality. The Lord blessed me to have 40 wonderful years with my mother. And I will see her again at the very same time I have a deeper connection and a deeper relationship with Jesus. I will have eternity with my mother. I also know Jesus in a completely different way. And as obnoxious as it may sound, with sincerity in my heart, I can tell you that it is worth it. I remember talking to my therapist. I remember telling her, like, I feel like I'm getting to understand Jesus in a new way. And I use an analogy that may or may not make sense. I said, like, Jesus is like a familiar home. I know where everything is. I can navigate even if the lights are off. I know my way around the home. But I sense this grief. I feel like I've just kind of bumped into like this secret door. And there's this addition to the home that I never knew was there. I'm now exploring more of this. I never knew there was such depth and more to Jesus than I originally thought. You see, our suffering has a way of allowing us to connect to Jesus in a new way, in a deeper way. And as hard as it is, with sincerity in my heart, I can tell you that this is worth it. In light of all of this, Paul says this in verse 16. He says, therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. Paul isn't simply encouraging them in regards to not give up, simply encouraging their perseverance. He's also trying to get them to look at what they receive, our inner person. The domain of the spirit, our inner person is being renewed day by day. As you all can tell, I am not done grieving my mother, but day by day, I am being renewed. And again, this is a consistent theme that we see in Scripture. Romans 5 says this. It says, we rejoice in our sufferings. Like Paul with the word choice, rejoice. And not because we rejoice because it feels good to us. We rejoice knowing that it's good for us. We rejoice in our sufferings knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Three times Paul speaks of that which is produced in us by way of our suffering. What I'm going to say next, I cannot prove the scripture. This is just me and my thoughts. It may not be your story, but I'm only going to speak for me. I'm not sure I'm not sure that I would have come to the depth of relationship with Jesus had it not been because of grief and suffering. I can't prove that with Scripture. This is just keep talking. You take it for what it's worth. But as I look at my life, I'm not sure that I could experience the richness of His love to the degree that I do had it not been the fact that I've gone through this. The level of intimacy with the Lord, the depth, the trust, that which He is producing in me, I'm not sure would have happened any other way. My inner person is being renewed day by day. Paul concludes his encouragement with these words in verse 17. He says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." And like I think at like a basic level, we understand this principle. We understand this point. I'll give us an example of something that we would all agree is light and momentary. It's kind of like a quick pinch. Childbirth. No? Okay. Let me explain. No one on their own would say that childbirth is light, right? If you've experienced it, if you've witnessed it, if you've seen a movie on it, no one would say that there's anything about childbirth that is light. No one would say that there's anything about childbirth that is momentary. I researched and said that the average amount of labor, especially for our first child, can be from 12 to 24 hours. Got to experience that firsthand. No one would say either of these things are light or momentary. But what Paul is saying is in comparison to the rest of the story, in comparison to all that God has for us, in comparison to those things, that our perspective begins to change, and we see these things as light and momentary. Like if you're like still not happy with that illustration, I understand. But as many of you know, it's actually not an original thought. This is one I got from Jesus. Jesus, in a similar setting with his believers, is doing what I'm trying to do this morning, was trying to encourage his disciples in regards to what was next for them as he was about to be crucified. He says this in John 16. He says, "Truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the sufferings because the joy that a person has been born into the world. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again." It's good news. "I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy from you." It is not lost on Paul nor Jesus that our suffering is real. It's not lost on Paul or Jesus that it can be intense and last for a lifetime. Paul was dealing with a thorn in the flesh. It's not lost on Jesus the difficulty that we experience. But it's also not lost on them that God uses it for his purpose. That God uses it as a means to reveal himself to others. He uses it as a means to reveal himself to us. That our perspective can even change on it over time. As crazy as it might sound, we might even find ourselves in a place one day rejoicing over it. Even saying that it's all worth it. Christ's point, I want to ask a question of you before I leave. And that's, what do we do with this? What do we do with the reality that we are often afflicted and persecuted and perplexed and struck down? What do we do with the fact that we live in a fallen world where suffering is a reality? What do we do with the words that we read today? I believe the Lord has already answered that question. It's found in our very text. In verse 18, Paul says this. He says, "For we do not look to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. The things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal." I think the way that we respond in the midst of suffering is not to look so much at the things that are seen, but to look to that which is unseen. By way of the Holy Spirit, Lord, would you allow me to see the things that are unseen? Lord, would you allow me to see what you are producing in me, to see the character, to see the hope, to see you? I think the way we respond is, Lord, would you allow us to not focus in on the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen? And like often a response to things like that is the old saying, like, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. And like what they're saying is like, don't be so lost in the future, so lost in heaven that you're not helpful here. And like, I just think suffering has a way of bringing you back to reality. Heartache and pain has a way of bringing you back to the things that are before you. If anything, we lack the balance of seeing the unseen. I think should we find ourselves in suffering that with the help of the Spirit, through prayer and maybe solitude and silence, Lord, would you help me see the things that are unseen, the things that are eternal? Would you give me perspective here? I think another way we respond to our suffering is by sharing it. As I said earlier, the church, we sometimes have a hard time with this. I think we have this shame sometimes that's associated with our suffering. Like, is this a reflection of my walk? Is this a reflection of my faith? And oftentimes we are hesitant to share our suffering, at least until we're on the side of it. But again, one of the biggest challenges the world has is suffering. What an apologetic we have by sharing our suffering. A friend that I shared with you earlier who had the injury is dealing with chronic pain because of her suffering. She says, Pastor Keith, I now when I see people who are dealing with suffering, I move to them. I'm able to share my experience. I'm able to share scripture that's helpful, books and resources that have been helpful. It's now been a part of her mission. She is using her suffering to accomplish God's mission. Not only do we have that example, but we have Jesus. We have Jesus as he was revealing himself after the resurrection. Jesus, if he wanted to, could have had his scars removed. He could have had him removed, but instead, as he goes to Thomas, he says, look at my hands and my feet, put your hand in my side, and Thomas responds, my Lord and my God. I think one of the things that we do with our suffering is that we share it with others. The Lord uses it. He redeems it. I think last but not least, a way that we can respond is in faith. If you are here this morning, you are not yet a follower of Jesus. If you have experienced suffering or are in the midst of it now, and you've been dealing with it on your own, I want you to know that that can end today. If you think Paul is credible in regards to talking about suffering, I want to one-up him with Jesus. You see, Jesus was mocked. He was beaten. He was crucified. He was tortured to death. And not in a quick death, one that by design was a slow one. Yet Jesus suffered to put an end to suffering. Jesus suffered on purpose that our suffering might have purpose. Jesus is the reason that all of this will be light and momentary. Our perspective on his suffering gives us better perspective on our suffering. Again, if you think Paul is qualified, I one up him with Jesus. And here's the thing that's important to remember is that he died for you and that he died for me. I know that may sound cliche in general. I don't mean it that way. Jesus died literally for you and for I. He suffered to put an end to suffering. He suffered that we would have life not only eternally, but abundantly. And it was on that cross Jesus was willing to lay down his life with us in mind because he knew that it was worth it. And to receive that, to receive all that Jesus is offering, it only requires that you believe. That you believe that he is who he says he is and that he's done exactly what he said he did. If you are here today and for the first time you want to put your faith in Jesus, after the service the elders will be on this side. It'd be the highlight of their day, maybe longer, to be able to introduce you to the Savior. Before I close, I assume at a room of this size, there may even be a few of you who are dealing with suffering right now to the point where you're like, Keith, I want to believe this. I want to believe this to be true, but right now it is just too hard. I want to be able to hold on to the verses, count it all joy when you face persecution. I want to be able to hold on to all things work for the good of God, but right now it's incredibly hard to believe considering the hardships of life. If that is you, I have a few questions for you. First, do you believe that Jesus was conceived of the Spirit and born of a virgin? Do you believe that the punishment that brought us peace was upon him and by his wounds we have been healed? Do you believe the words of the angels when they says, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Jesus is not here. He is risen. Do you believe the gospel? Because if you can believe all of that, you can believe all of this. If you can believe in his work, you can believe in his word. And his word tells us we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our body, but we also carry his life. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day, for these light and momentary afflictions are producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So we don't look to the things that are seen. For the things that are seen are transient, they are temporary. Instead, we look to the things that are unseen, for those things are forever. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. That your promise, one of your promises to us, that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And Jesus, we thank you that we can know that to be true in the midst of our suffering. That in the midst of hardships, your presence is with us. You are always with us and for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to suffer in a way to end all suffering. Thank you, Lord, that you did so in purpose, and because of that, now there's actually purpose to our suffering. Lord, I pray for myself, for our friends in this room, that when we deal with suffering, we would do so with you. That we would lean on our faith, that we would lean on you, and that by way of your Spirit, you would renew us day by day. Lord, ask for the courage to help us actually even share our suffering. That you might accomplish your mission. That you might actually use it to draw people to you. That you would use it to actually draw us closer to you. That we'd have a better understanding of you. And God, we know you to be beyond. We know you to be other. We know you to be holy, Jesus. But we also know that you desire that we know you. And Lord, we desire that too. And God, you know our hearts are not going to lie to you. If we could design it any other way, we would. But Lord, at the end of the day, in the depths of our hearts, we want the fullness of who you are. We want to know our Savior intimately. We want to be known by you intimately. And the fact that you use all things, even the hard things, is actually an encouragement. So Jesus, draw us near. Remind us of the truth of your word. Remind us of the promises that lay within it. That we might suffer well. That we might even come to the point where we say it's all worth it. Lord, I don't know most of the people in this room. But Lord, we give space this morning. If there's anyone here today who's yet to put their faith in Jesus, Maybe right now you find yourself in a place of suffering. Right now you find yourself in a place of hardship, or maybe not. But maybe you've seen it around and you know it's a reality of life. And you want the same truth and the promise that we proclaim. I want you to know that it's available to you today. It's available to you now. If there's anyone here today who for the first time wants to put their faith in Jesus, I'd encourage you to boldly raise your hand. If there's one who wants the fullness of Jesus, the opportunity is yours. I think one of two things is a reality in our room today. Either we're all followers of Jesus, or maybe someone's still wrestling a little bit. And if that is you, I want you to know our elders will still love to talk with you. Treat you to coffee, treat you to lunch, and talk through those things. But if we are all followers of Jesus, may we be encouraged by that truth. But may we be reminded that that's not true everywhere, and that we've been called to be light and darkness. And believe it or not, one of the ways that we can do that is by way of our suffering. Lord, would you help us to live missionally in the same way that you live missionally for us? We love you, Lord. And you've made it very clear that you love us too. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.